Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, this morning. Here we are. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to praise your name. Thank you, Lord. As we fellowship together around the word today, we pray that the entrance of your word will bring a light and give us understanding in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, continuing with our series of overcoming the fiery darts that the enemy will try to throw at us. Yesterday, or the last couple of days, you know, we had been covering the pride and arrogance. And yesterday we talked some more about, you know, the pride of life and spiritual pride. Today, I want to move on to the next of the topics in my list. One that is a favorite, actually, because, you know, it has to do with understanding, you know, and I love anything that has to do with understanding. So today, we're going to be talking about overcoming confusion and perplexity. We're going to do it with strategy and inspiration. Well, to me, inspiration is really more or less understanding. So we're going to talk about it. I have a few scriptures to share with us, and we'll see what the Lord would tell us. Praise the Lord. All right. As you might recall, these series of scriptures and this compilation was first presented to this platform December 31st last year. And at that time, it was titled, Stop Enemies That Must Not Follow You to 2024. And the Lord had put in my heart to dissect each one of those topics and cover them. We've covered fear and anxiety. We've covered unbelief and doubt. Then we've covered disobedience and rebellion. And most recently, pride and arrogance. Today, confusion and perplexity. We're going to see how we can replace that with strategy and inspiration or understanding. Praise the Lord. Now, just read through some scriptures and share some thoughts. There was a great lesson that the Lord gave us in the story of David in 2 Samuel chapter 5. You know, some things happening in his life at that time with the Philistines and so on. So let's pick up this story here in 2 Samuel chapter 5. We'll start from verse 17. And we'll see how David, you know, got understanding from the Lord, even got instruction, and got even strategy. Praise the Lord. You know, so now, at the time of his troubles with the Philistines, this is when this story opens. You know, now, in verse 17 of 2 Samuel chapter 5, but when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it, went out to the hole. Well, they didn't come to seek him, you know, to congratulate him. Oh, no. They came to seek him, to fight him and kill him. You know, now, they've heard the stories of David, you know, how, you know, he conquered their champion, Goliath, and all these things and so on. And so they knew that this man wouldn't back down. So the best thing is go up against him real quickly and try to take him out. you know, before he settles in as a king, you know. So, and David, he heard of it, so he also went down to the hole. And the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Now, I love this thing here that David did. He asked of the Lord. I mean, they come up against you to battle. The natural thing is for you to engage. I mean, why would you be asking whether you need to engage? You do need to engage because you have to defend yourself. You know, but David, he wasn't going to do it, you know, until he asked the Lord first. And, you know, so he asked the Lord, should I go up against the Philistines? Will thou deliver them into my hand at this time? And the Lord answered unto David and said, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thy hand. So having heard that word, I was confident. And so he came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there. And said, the Lord have broken forth upon my enemies before me as the breach of waters. Therefore, he called the name of the place Baal Perazim. And they left all their images there, the Philistines did. And David, he burnt them all. Now, these Philistines, you know, I mean, they're like, you know, the devil. He goes away for a season or they come back again. You whack them over here, whack-a-mole, we call it in the U.S. here. Whack it and spring up again on the other side. You whack it some more, spring up over on that side. So these Philistines, they'll go away for a season. They come back again. You beat them, they come back some more, for some more. And this time around, when they came back, they spread their selves again, themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David said, my goodness, I just, you know, defeated these people, but they are back. So he went to the Lord again. See, now he could have just said, well, I beat them last time and I'm going to beat them again. Just go out in the arm of his, you know, his own flesh. But he didn't do it. So this is a good lesson, a great lesson for us to learn. He went back to the Lord again for instruction and for strategy. So I want to bring out, you know, strategy here when we are faced with things that could bring confusion and perplexity. We must go to the Lord and to ask for direction. And we should not assume that direction he gave us yesterday for some other thing will be the same for today. We need daily contact with the Lord. Ask of him daily in every situation. But this time around, the Lord will tell him something different. So the Lord said, thou shalt not go up. Now, that might be strange to do. You know, I beat them once before. You told me I beat them. And, you know, why would I not go up? But David knew better. He knew to ask the Lord and to follow what the Lord says. And so the Lord gave him a different strategy here this time around. You know, this time around, you're going to fetch a compass behind them. And you're going to come up against them, you know, around the mulberry trees. You're not going to just dash right in. And then the Lord said, you wait there. You know, you wait. It doesn't matter how long it takes, but you wait. You know, until you hear the sound of a going. You know, when you see the rumbling, when you hear some sound in the tops of the mulberry trees, yeah, as the Spirit of the Lord will pass through there, then you will know to bestir yourself. And then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so, and the Lord commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba till thou come to Gezer. You know, so the lesson in this story, and why I wanted to read it first, I jumped right into the strategy and coming into the confusion and the perplexity and so on. You know, but I jumped right into the strategy, because we see how David did it. And this is a great lesson. I want to put this out for us so we don't forget it. I always go to the Lord, to the Holy Spirit. And what shall I do here when we are confronted with situations that we don't understand? But I'm going to be talking even about understanding today. You know, so that's how David did it. And it was a real good example. And it's a good one to open the lesson with. You know, and I'm going to tell you some good things first about instruction and understanding before we even get to, you know, the confusion and perplexity. One of my favorite, all-time favorite scriptures on the subject of understanding, you know, and is in Job 32 and verse 8. You know, so in that story, and some of you may know the background to that story about Job and, you know, his troubles and how his friends, you know, a couple of them are older, one was very young, you know, had been around him and looking at him, talking to him, and, you know, and they had different comments to make about different things, their own reasons or thoughts or analysis of why the things happened to Job that happened to him, you know, and so there was also, you know, this man, apparently he was younger than the rest, called Elihu. And Elihu, in verse 4 of Job 32, well, Elihu said, you know, we're told, he said, he had waited till Job had spoken because they were older than he, so Job and the rest, you know. And then when Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, you know, then his wrath was kindled. And Elihu, here's what he said, I am young and ye are very old. Therefore, I was afraid and did not dare to show my opinion. I said, let days speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom. You know, that's, you know, so he gave, you know, he gave room for the elder. Said, look, you people are older, why don't you speak wisdom and to teach us? But, you know, he really wasn't satisfied with what he heard, or heard nothing that inspired him. So he made this bold statement. He said, well, it doesn't always come from, you know, gray hairs and age and so on. He said, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged always understand judgment. You know, so, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Powerful scripture. I pray that the Lord will help you to grasp the depth of that scripture. It has changed my life. It has helped me in many ways, you know, overcome many difficult situations, you know, so it's just amazing. The Lord will say the, you know, a similar thing to help you understand what he's actually talking about. What does all mean, inspiration of the Almighty? What does it mean? Well, in Job chapter 32, verse 8, remember, Job 32, 8, he says this thing. And then in Psalm 32 and verse 8, both of them are 32 and 8, so it'll help you to remember. Psalm 32 and 8, he says something very similar. Well, let's read it. We'll read verses 8 and 9. Here is a promise that the Lord gave. And why do you need this from the Lord? Well, when we're facing confusion and facing perplexity and we don't know which way to turn, I will speak more about that in a bit. You know, here's what the Lord promised. The Lord said, I will instruct thee and teach thee the way which thou shalt go. I will guide you with my eye. So that means that, look, when you don't know which way to go and you don't understand what lies ahead, the Lord said, I will instruct you and I will guide you. You know, but don't be as the horse or the mule, which have no understanding. So the key thing here is understanding. That's really what I want to pull out here. You know, it's inspiration, but it's really understanding. You know, whose mouth must be held in with bit. I mean, that's how you jerk around the horse and the mule. You know, but you say, look, you don't need that. You know, submit willingly unto the leading of the Lord, and it shall be well with you. You know, so these are lessons to hold onto of how the Lord will guide us. You know, and let's read Psalm 36 and verse 9. You know, God doesn't want us to walk in darkness. What is darkness? Well, darkness is, you know, perplexity. You don't understand. You can't see. You're groping, you know. And when you are groping, you know, and looking for the light switch, well, if you find the light switch, you turn on the light. Then all of a sudden, wow, it's all good. For with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light we shall see light. You know, I love the subject of light and understanding. You know, you hear me just about every day. I quote a verse here when I pray. You know, and that verse is taken, you know, out of Psalm 119. And I love that Psalm 119, all of it. You know, but this verse comes out of Psalm 119, you know, at verse 130. And he says this saying that I say every time that I'm here. I say, the entrance of thy words give light, and it giveth understanding to the simple. This light and understanding, this is what drives away confusion and perplexity, you know. And when you enter in a dark room, like in the night, and it's really dark, you know, what's the first thing that you do instinctively? Well, you reach out your hands looking for that light switch on the wall next to your door. You just feel around for it and so forth. You know, it's a natural thing. People want to look for the light switch when they are in a dark room. Well, you know, let's apply that to our lives as well. These are things we do instinctively without even thinking. We should do the same thing. We should practice to do the same thing. When you are in the dark, you know, well, reach for the light. You know, the light comes from his word. The entrance of his word gives light and brings also understanding to us. You know, so that's, you know, that's a good lesson for us to keep in our minds. All right. Well, let's talk some more about understanding and so forth. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3 and 5 and 6 say, look, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. We're talking about understanding here. You know, but what type of understanding are we talking about? You know, well, you know, don't depend only on your own knowledge, your own understanding, but trust in the understanding that comes from the Lord. That's what he's saying. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, when we're faced with challenges, difficulties, we don't know which way to turn. When you're at crossroads, you know, you might call it that. Which way should you take? What should you do in this situation? I mean, some people have learned the art of asking the Holy Spirit, you know, to help them when they are faced with a situation in which they must make a decision. Others don't, you know yet, you know, to do that. And we must all learn to do that. Learn to ask of the Lord every time when you're faced with a situation. What do I do here? What should I do? That's what David did. You know, and Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21 promises us that when you are faced with when you are at a crossroads and you're thinking, should I go this way? Should I go that way? You know, I mean, life is full of a lot of choices. Sometimes it's binary. Sometimes it's not. Binary means it's either this or that. You know, there are two choices. You go this way or you go that way. And sometimes it's a lot more than that. But, you know, there's always a choice. Some people say, well, I didn't have a choice. Well, you always have a choice. You know, there is not a single situation in life where you didn't have a choice. Even when you say, I didn't have a choice. Well, that was the choice you made, to say that you didn't have a choice. You know, so there's always a choice. Everybody always has a choice in every situation. You can choose to jump right in without asking the Lord, or you can choose to hold on. Ask the Lord first. When we are trying to do something, you know, you can choose to, you know, plan it all out and come to the Lord and ask him to bless it, which is what we do most of the time. Or you can choose to come and ask the Lord, you know, to show you what to do in the first place. You know, so we always have a choice. And you said, look, Isaiah 30 and 21, you will hear a voice behind your ear, you know, pointing to you and showing you the way that you should go. You know, when you're about to turn to the left or the right, you know, hear this voice that said, this is the way. You know, and so he's telling us that he'll be there to tell you that this is the way that you should walk. Walk ye in it when you're about to turn to the left or the right. So when you are faced with a decision, shall I go this way or shall I go that way? Shall I do it or shall I not do it? You know, or how shall I even do it? Even if the answer is do it, how? You know, I mean, the Holy Spirit has all the answers. But, you know, we must learn to ask. Well, the Lord said, well, I will show you, you know, but you've got to ask. You know, sometimes some of the things that we face in life, you know, finances and things like that, you know, I mean, everybody is working, doing this, you know, trying to make ends meet. You know, we got to pay our bills. We got to go to school, send our children to school. We got to do all these things. We, you know, and sometimes we go into business for ourselves or we work for someone else. You know, and the whole idea is, you know, we got to make a living or earn a living, as they say, you know, so you can take care of these things. Well, you have a choice also, you know, to go about it in your own way, or you have a choice to, you know, lean upon the Lord. Now, and if the Lord prospers you, remember one thing, Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 8 says, well, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. And I'm going to talk about that, you know, briefly today. And sometime in the future, I will come and talk about it some more. But today, the power to get wealth is what the Lord will give you. And remember, he's saying he's the one that does give it to you. So if you get it, remember, it came from him. But exactly what does he give you? Well, this particular scripture in Deuteronomy 18 and 8, you know, it talks about, you know, doesn't say exactly that the Lord will give you the wealth, but it does say that he'll give you the power. Well, knowledge is power, as they say. You know, this is all about inspiration. It's all about understanding. It's all about knowing, you know, knowing what the Lord gives to you. Praise the Lord. You know, so I want you to know that the Lord is the one that gives you the power. That's what he said, to get well. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. Don't forget it. I think I might have said 18:8. I reversed it in my mind. It's Deuteronomy 8 and 18. Deuteronomy 8 and 18. For thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for he it is that doth give you the power to get wealth. Now that's the power to get wealth. It's the Lord that gives it to you. You can't get it on your own. The Lord is the one that gives it to you. But don't you forget it. And that power comes from inspiration, it comes from instruction, it comes from understanding, it comes from even strategy. You know, other scriptures which I will talk about in the future tell you about the hidden riches of secret places, even treasures that are hidden that people don't understand. Well, Isaiah 48 and 17 also tells you that, you know, it is the Lord that will teach you. And again, that's instruction. And again, that's strategy. And that's understanding. Teach you how to profit. So the Lord will show you what to do, show you how to go about it. That's how you get the wealth. It's not, I mean, even the children of the world who, you know how to get wealth, they learn and they're instructed. They learn strategy. They learn how to do it. And, you know, it works for them. We need to learn and it'll work for us. The Holy Spirit can show you, you know, how to do it and it'll work for you. Now, one thing that we must, you know, continue to recognize is that the Lord was always there. The Holy Spirit is always with us to guide us. But we must ask of Him. You know, we must ask of Him. Now let's look at situations where we may be in perplexity or confusion. Now, what is really confusion? It's just, you know, you don't know what to do. I mean, the thing is all over the place and you don't know what to do. And when, you know, when life's trials or challenges come, sometimes people are in confusion. I mean, when a loved one, like a child, for instance, suddenly sick and you have to rush them to the emergency room, they're confused. Don't know what to do. Sometimes you don't even know what to do. But that I'll just call the name of Jesus, perhaps. And, you know, when situation happens, I mean, what if, you know, you are on the job and you come in, you know, one day and then suddenly they walk you out. Today, they're going to lay you off and they didn't announce it. You know, and then they just walk you out of the building. What are you going to do? You're probably confused. You don't know what to do. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of things, you know, can bring confusion. Suddenly you get a letter. You know, it could be a letter from creditors. You know, it could be even a letter from, you know, your healthcare providers. You know, they found some horrible thing. And then you're confused. And you don't know what to do. Well, it can go on and on with the various situations that may confuse you in life. What should you do? You know, confusion of faces, that's not the thing that God wants us. That's not the place where He wants us to be. You know, He doesn't want you to be confused. He doesn't want you to be ashamed even. I mean, Isaiah was bold in declaring that he's never going to be confused. You know, some of you might recall Isaiah 50 and verse 7 that I gave out in this room as a memory verse many months ago. And this is the way that Isaiah declared it. He said, look, no matter what is going on, I know the Lord is going to help me, you know, and I will not be confounded means confused. You know, I will not be confused. You know, and I've determined within my mind, I am not going to be shaken. Set my face like a flint. Put on my game face. You know, and I know that I will not be ashamed. This man, it was determined that he will not be confused. I will not be confounded. You know, I'm not going to allow the situations that happen to me to throw me off balance and, you know, where to where, you know, I can't even think straight. That's what happens when people are confused. Situations, can't think straight, you know, running helter-skelter, screaming, yelling, confused, can't think straight. Well, Holy Spirit can't really get through to you in that situation. You got to learn to calm down. You got to practice it before the actual evil situation comes. Because if you are not well practiced, you won't know what to do. You got to practice it. Know what to do in that situation. You know, what is your go-to place when confusion, anxiety, perplexity, and all these things come? What is your go-to place? You know, some of you might be to drop into prayer in the spirit. Some might be, you know, start, you know, praising the Lord. Some might be, you know, go on your, you know, knees and ask the Holy Spirit. Some might be, you know, look to the Word for inspiration, you know, but in all these things, Jesus said, Holy Spirit will bring you, you know, bring into your remembrance the things that you need to know at the time that you need to know them. But you must lean on Him. You know, you should not walk in darkness. Here's what the Lord said in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 10. Who is among you? This is verse 10 of Isaiah 50. Who is among you that feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of his servant and yet walks in darkness and hath no light? I mean, if you are confused, but yet you're trying to trust the Lord, and yet you are in darkness and you have no light because the voice of God is not there. You know, when the voice of God is not there, it's like you are in the dark. You don't have a clue what to do. Well, what should you do? What's your response? Well, here's what he said. He said, stay right there with the Lord. Don't jump ship. Stay in the Lord. Put your trust, continue to put your trust in the name of the Lord because he will come through for you. Now, sometimes we jump ship. You know, when Paul was faced with the shipwreck and everything, he said, well, you know, I told you guys we should not have set sail, you know, but, you know, and this would not have happened to us if you had listened to me. But nevertheless, the angel of the Lord stood by me tonight and said, there shall be no life lost. However, you must stay in the ship. If you don't stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. You know, so you know, sometimes we jump ship and, you know, take matters into our hands, jump ship and so forth. And we just, I mean, those people, you know, they did not listen to Paul's advice, but yet he said, well, the Lord will still save us, but we must stay in the ship. You can't jump ship. You know, praise the Lord. And, you know, he says, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Stay right there with the Lord. He'll come through for you. You know, so in the moment of darkness, when you think I'm not in the light, well, how did Micah put it? He said in Micah chapter 7 and verse 8, another favorite scripture of mine, I quote it all the time. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. Why? Because when I fall, I shall arise again. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. So, you know, there are moments when you stumble. I encourage yourself that you can get up again. But here on the subject of light and understanding, say, look, when I sit in darkness, and I, you know, I should be confused. I am confused. Nothing going on. You know, and, you know, I can't see the light, so to speak. Well, this man is encouraging himself and saying that the Lord will yet be a light unto me. And remember, the entrance of his word brings light. Again, Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. The word of God always brings light. Some people say shed light on this situation. Well, it does more than shed it. It actually brings. In fact, it is a light itself. You know, so always trust the Lord when you're going through and depend upon him to come through for you. And he will come through, you know, for you. Let's read a few more things here. There are some promises that God gives about, you know, you not being ashamed. Joel chapter 2 verses 26 to 27. He says a couple of times, my people shall not be ashamed. Well, you know, you will not be confused either. And you will not be, you know, drowned with perplexity where you can't decipher the situation. You can't even tell, you know, what to do. I mean, think of a jigsaw puzzle that has 1,000 pieces and they throw the thing there and it's all mixed up and it's stirred up and it's all mixed up. You don't even know where to start. I mean, you pick up one piece, it doesn't mean anything. Pick up yet another piece, it still doesn't mean anything. However, if you turn to the box, there is a picture of what it might look like. I mean, it will look like if you put it together according to this scripture. I mean, according to that picture. Well, Holy Spirit has the picture. You have the pieces, all these pieces in front of you. You don't know what to do, how to put the pieces together. Holy Spirit is the one that has the picture. And if you turn to him, he'll show you what it looked like. Say, ah, this piece goes over there. And this one goes over there. And then you begin to try to figure it out because now he's showing you the picture. You know, and sometimes we are graced with that information. And sometimes you're not. Sometimes you don't have the picture. The box is lost. Then what do? Well, stay on your God. Trust him nonetheless. Even when you don't have a word, keep trusting him. You know, because sometimes he'll tell us things in advance, and sometimes he doesn't tell us things in advance. And you still have to trust him. You know, not only when he shows us what is to come, which he said he will do, according to John chapter 16 and verse 13, we're told that the Holy Spirit will show us things to come. You know, but sometimes he may not show you. If he shows you, great. If he doesn't show you, great. Still trust him anyhow. A couple of times the prophet said, well, and the Lord has hidden it from me and didn't show it to me. You know, Elisha said it, in the case of the Shunammite woman who her son died. She said it is well, and she came to the prophet anyway. You know, and the prophet said, well, something must be bothering this woman. She's coming, and the Lord has hid it from me. Well, the Lord didn't tell him, you know. And Elijah, same thing. You know, it was a time, you know, somebody died, and the Lord didn't tell him. But, you know, at the end of the day, they trusted the Lord, and, you know, they were able to bring, you know, the dead back to life. So the Lord may tell us, and he may not, initially. That's right. And I stress initially, because he will eventually guide you. How he will guide you, you know, that's up to him. But we must look to him for his guidance. He may drop a word. He may give a dream. He may give a vision. He may give what I call inspiration of the Almighty. You know, and it just comes, it's like an intuition. All of a sudden, you know, a light bulb goes on. I mean, something that there's no way that you could have known. All of a sudden, you know it. It's just amazing how that happens. You just all of a sudden know something that you could not have known otherwise. It's the inspiration of the Almighty. And it will illuminate your mind, give you understanding, you know. And then you say, wow, you know. What do you do then? Well, you praise the Lord. Here's a promise that Jesus gives in John chapter 8 and verse 12. So he says, if you follow me, you will not be confused. You know, you're not walking in darkness. Walking in darkness is confusion. You will not be confounded. You will not be in perplexity. All these words are translated the same thing. Confused. You know, he said that, but you will have the light of life. So you see that in every one of these instances, it's light that gets rid of that darkness. That darkness is confusion. You know, the blackness of darkness, it's confusion. However, when the light shines, it dispels the darkness. And the light comes from his word, the Spirit of God, you know, bringing that word to life in your heart. Praise the Lord. Now, here's what the Lord, again, you know, let's read some testimonies in the life of Paul. You know, how, you know, some of the things, you know, that, I put some things. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33, that God is not the author of confusion. In this particular place, he was writing instructions to the church how to do some things and so forth. That statement holds true, whether it's instruction to the church or it's instruction for your personal life or whatever. You know, he said, God is not the author of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33. So let's remember that. When confusion comes, you're surrounded with confusion. That didn't come from God. Because this scripture point blank says, God is not the author of confusion. You know, and then so, but if I am confused and it didn't come from God, then what should I do then? Well, that means the devil is trying to use that to get you off track, you know, get you completely off track. So it's the devil that is authoring that. It's not from the Lord. And, you know, sometimes our mind also being weak, you know, we become, you know, let our minds be taken over by worry, you know, by all these things, anxiety, which we have covered before. And then confusion sets in. You know, but, you know, if you have the confidence in the Lord, confidence that He is there to guide you, as I will guide you, I will instruct you in the way that you should go, and I will guide you with my eye. You know, these are the things that He talks about. And this is so important for us to lean on Him. You know, here's Paul's testimony in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you know, that look, there are many things that could have discouraged him, many situations that he found himself in. But he said, look, I will not be discouraged. So let's read it together. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. You know, discouragement may come, he said, but I won't be discouraged. We are troubled on every side, yet we are not distressed. We are perplexed. Sometimes perplexion and all these things comes, you know, and everything is just upside down. And you may be hearing multiple voices. That, again, that leads to, you know, being perplexed. That leads to confusion. One voice says this way. Another voice says this way. Yet another voice says that way. And which voice should you listen to? And there are many voices, you know. Things in life will even have their voice. They speak. Sometimes they speak fear. Sometimes they see, you know, speak unbelief. You know, all these situations have voices. And then some people may actually even speak to you too by their own voice and add confusion on top of that and say, well, you know, you can't do that. Or, well, you know, the Lord has forsaken you, or you must have done something wrong. That's why this thing came up. I mean, there are so many voices around Job at the time, you know, and there may be voices in your head too. The enemy is trying to get, you know, you heard people say someone's trying to get into your head. Well, the devil is a master at it. Knows how to get into people's head. Get into your head and bring all these negative thoughts and bring perplexity. Well, perplexity is the correct verb, I think, not perplexion. Perplexity, he said, well, perplexity is there, but we are not in despair. We may be persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We may be cast down, but we're not destroyed. You know, and I will not stay confused. If you don't want to stay confused, well, let me share a few more things with you on how, you know, the Lord will guide you and lead you. It is important for us to know that understanding comes from the Lord. And I want to digress a little bit and take a few minutes and talk about inspiration and understanding together. Now, you will notice that the way I address this particular lesson, rather than focus on too much of the negative, I jumped straight into the positive. But you can think of it yourself, all the things that can bring confusion, perplexity, and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. You know, the antidote for us is to look unto the Lord for strategy and inspiration. That inspiration, I call it understanding. You know, he said, look, there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Lord. Read it again for yourself. Meditate on Job 32 and verse 8. See what it says. because it's very, very powerful. It's a spirit inside of you, how the Lord communicates with you. It's not just by, I mean, there's some things you learn by age and experience and so forth, but then there are some things also by the grace of the Lord that can come to you by the Holy Spirit, you know. But it says the inspiration of the Lord is what will give you understanding. So whereas I talk about inspiration in this title, really the goal is to get understanding. God is to inspire something in your heart that will give you understanding. All of a sudden you know something, you understand it. God has opened your eyes. You know, it takes even understanding for us. It's God, even in the things of the Lord. Even in when we hear the message of the gospel, when you hear any teaching such as this, Jesus gave a lesson on this in Matthew chapter 13. You know, that chapter, he was talking about parables of the kingdom. And there was one parable he started out with, which we call today parable of the sower. You know, but he said, Jesus revealed something important here and said, look, you know, the parable of the sower, when he started to explain it, he said, the ones that fell by the wayside that the birds picked up, he said, well, you know, it is those that hear the word and have no understanding. You know, and because they have no understanding, well, the devil comes and taketh away what they have heard because they did not receive understanding. So we see that understanding is so key. He said, look, you should hear and not understand with your heart. That's what Isaiah prophesied unto them. He said, let their minds be darkened. Let their ears be dull. Let their eyes, you know, be blinded, that they will not see. They will not hear with their eyes. They should not understand with their heart. You know, well, we need to understand, you know, the understanding. So let's read this. Matthew chapter 13. And verse 18, hear ye the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. So you see that even in understanding anything from the Lord, you know, I mean, sorry, even in, you know, the comprehension of the whatever the Lord is saying, understanding is important. If you don't understand it, then you won't understand it. That's like, wow, you know, yeah, you know, the devil will come and take away what you already heard because you had no understanding. You know, that means that we need to pay attention, give attention to understanding. It's so key. Now, in the series that we did on the seven pillars of wisdom, if you heard it or you didn't hear it, you might want to go back and check it out and listen to the part on understanding, because understanding is so key. You know, I call it a pillar of wisdom, you know, and you know, in the book of Proverbs, you know, chapter 4, verse 7, you know, there's a profound, you know, statement, you know, that says that you must pursue and gain wisdom and understanding. So let's read it. I'm going to read some verses to you out of the book of Proverbs on the subject of understanding. Here it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all your getting, get understanding. So basically, it's saying understanding is what makes wisdom the principal thing. If you don't have understanding, then, you know, you'll be void of instruction at the same time. So it is a very, very, rare thing. It's priceless. Where can you find it? Well, let's read some things in the book of Job. Job 28, for instance. You know, how do you find understanding? Well, where is the place of it? Let's read what the book of Job says. Because, you know, we've already said it comes from the Word of God. But why is it that everybody reads the Word of God? Not everybody gets the understanding. Well, you know, because there has to be time devoted to understanding what the Spirit of God is saying. Let me read this to you in Job 28 and verse 12. You know, where shall wisdom be found? Where is the place of understanding? You know, man knoweth not the price thereof, because it's, you know, really priceless. It cannot be found in the land of the living. The dead says it's not in me. The sea says it's not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. Cannot be valued as the gold of Ophir, you know, with the precious onyx and the sapphire. You know, the gold and crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. I mean, talk about coral and pearls and so forth. Say the wisdom, the price of wisdom is above rubies. And so on. He said, but what, you know, where then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? Seeing that it is hid from the eyes of all living, you know, that's right. Now, what he says here drops down in verse 23 and says, God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. You know, so it's all in God. And God is the one that can give it to you. And we must look to him, you know, for understanding. Understanding is a superior power of discernment. It's, you know, I call it enlightened intelligence. And, you know, it's the ability of deep comprehension and perception. We've already read that it comes from, you know, the Word of God. Word of God gives understanding. You know, but God says, you know, you really can't find it on your own. He's the one that's going to give it to you. Now, if you have learned to keep his commandments, you will get understanding. Psalm 111 and verse 10 say, those that do God's commandments, well, they get good understanding. Now, commandment of the Lord, you know, these is the instruction to life. And it keeps you from evil. And by doing it, this Psalm 111 tells you that you will get good understanding. Praise the Lord. That's Psalm 111 and verse 10. You get good understanding from even keeping the commandments of the Lord. Now, knowledge and understanding come from the Lord. But we have to seek after these things. Diligently. Proverbs chapter 2 verses 1 to 6 will tell you that you got to seek the understanding. Lean not to your own, but seek understanding. Now, understanding will also cause you to depart from evil. Job 28 and verse 28, he said, to depart from evil is understanding. Now, let's see how, you know, Proverbs 24 further describes it. A house. And a house can be your life, your marriage, career, whatever. It's built by wisdom, but it is by understanding that it is established. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 and 4. You build a house by wisdom, but understanding is what makes it established. So if you don't have understanding, well, a woman that is void of understanding will pluck down her own house by her own hands, we're told. You know, so, you know, we must seek understanding. Understanding is something that comes from God. Daniel, we're told, had understanding in all visions and dreams. In the book of Daniel, chapter 1, verses 17 to 20, we're told that he has understanding. You know, companions had knowledge, they had skills in learning and wisdom, but Daniel in particular, had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now, you know, understanding itself is also comprehension. In Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 to 19, he talks about, you know, the understanding. Always, you know, that we may comprehend. Well, that's understanding. You know, comprehend, you know, the things of God. It was a prayer in his heart for the people that God gave him to minister to. And he said, look, for this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven is named, and so forth, that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, that's understand, with all the saints. You know, you need to understand what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, and so on and so forth. You know, so he was always praying, you know, about this understanding. Praise the Lord. Now, at the age of 12, the scholars and doctors of law and the philosophers in his day were amazed at the age of Jesus. I mean, at the understanding of Jesus at that age. In Luke chapter 2, we see in verses 46 and 47 that at age 12, he had incredible understanding. And people wondered why and how did he get it? Well, because the Lord put it on him. Now, understanding has a lot of things. It'll keep you from being hasty, even to just doing things on your own. That's Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 29. It'll even keep you from wrath, you know, from being hasty to wrath. You know, so, you know, the understanding that the Lord gives. You know, I also broke it down into three parts. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. Understanding, you know, it can be in three parts. You can know things from the Lord that affect your past, your present, and even your future. You know, so understanding is so key in doing all of that. You know, where there is no vision, he says, Proverbs chapter 29 verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Well, understanding can give you that insight. So I broke it down into three parts. You know, there's something that we might call hindsight. There's something that we might call insight. And there's one we might call foresight. And, you know, that's all understanding. And it comes from the inspiration of the Lord. Now, hindsight is the ability to gain insight from your past. You know, that means to gain understanding and enlightenment. How do you learn from past mistakes? Or even build upon past successes, you know, to prepare for a better tomorrow. You know, you can gain that from looking into the past and gleaning from it. That's hindsight, because the past is already gone, but you can look back and learn something from it. We call that hindsight. You know, I mean, at the moment that you're going through, God can give you insight. You know, but the insight, you know, the way I put it is, look, if you do not move beyond your past, well, then you can never be better than you were yesterday. That's my own law of, you know, I call it the law of insight and, you know, hindsight and foresight. I say, look, you will never be better than you were yesterday if you fail to move beyond your past, whether that past was filled with failures or successes. You need to move forward. Understanding is what helps you to gain, you know, knowledge that you can use from the past and use it to move forward. Not to stay down, but get up. Don't stay put. Keep pressing on. You know, all of that is, you know, you can gain insight from that. God also promised to do a new thing. So in doing a new thing is comparing it to the old. There's an old, there's a new. So hindsight, you can learn from the past. Insight is, knowledge about the present. Foresight is the future. It has to do with the future. And this is my best illustration for foresight. The future that you see today is where you will be tomorrow. Now, all of this is understanding, but I call it inspiration of the Almighty. And God said to Abraham in Genesis 13, verses 14 and 15, he told him that, look from the place where you are. That's right now. Where are you now? Well, look forward. And you got to see it in order to get there. He said, all that you can see is what you will get. Now, bringing that to our lives, we also see that, to get there, you must see it. To get there tomorrow, you must see it today. That's basically the lesson here. The future you see today is where you can be tomorrow. And that's why people go to school. That's why people do all these things. They see themselves as a lawyer, doctor, this and that, and they say, they go for it. But you must see it. Some people call it dream. Well, a dream can be a night vision when you sleep and, you see something. But also it can be an aspiration. Something thinking of acquiring. Hoping to get, looking forward to becoming, can be a dream. This is what visionaries are, made of, how they get great successes. They think, and they, they think about the future, they imagine it. And the power of thought and imagination is so powerful. But you must dream it. Think big, dream big. God told Abraham, see, as much as you can see now is what I will give you. If you only see a little, you only get a little. But all the land that you can see, from the east to the west to the south and the north, will I give it to you. If you can see it now, I'll give it to you tomorrow. Hallelujah. So you must increase your faith horizon today. And inspiration of the Almighty is what gives you understanding for all of that. So rather than being confused, say, I don't know what to do, I'm perplexed. Turn it over to the Lord. He'll give you inspiration. He'll give you understanding. You can notice that I'm spending more time on the inspiration rather than the negative. Praise the Lord. Now, choices in life, I said before, you got to make some choices. There's always choices. What will you do? who will you marry? What business will you do? What career? What this and that? These are some tremendous choices we have to make in life. The ability to make those right choices comes from understanding and insight that the Lord will give you. Last but not the least, you can use the understanding, to even predict the future by looking at the past. You can bring it all together. There's one story that illustrated very well. It's in 1 Samuel 17, David against Goliath. He was able to predict the future against Goliath by looking into the past. How God helped him against the lion and against the bear. And he used that to predict that God would also help him gain the victory over Goliath. So you can see how he's in this moment. They're asking him to try on armor and things that he couldn't, too heavy for him to bear. And he's recalling to his remembrance, look, God gave me victory over the lion. He gave me victory over the bear. Well, that's in the past. But hindsight, looking back, you can say, well, the Lord that did that for me then and then, well, in the moment that I'm in now and what am I about to face, this Goliath that I'm going against, same God that did that can do that now. He used that to bring it all together. And that was understanding. He had understanding to know that God, who gave him that victory in the past, can also give it to him today. Now, when we are void of understanding, it's really sad. We miss out a lot. There was a group of people that had understanding in the Bible in Chronicles chapter 12. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. They had understanding. They were called the children of Issachar. They had understanding, and the understanding actually gave them, an advantage. They knew what people ought to do. That's a powerful, powerful verse. And I want you to meditate upon it. So when you see how these people use their understanding to gain an advantage, then we must seek understanding from the Lord. An understanding which comes from God's inspiration is what we need to overcome perplexity and confusion. Let's see how 1 Chronicles 12 describes them. The children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, they knew what Israel ought to do. So understanding makes you know what you ought to do. Choices you need to make, making the right choice, and so on. They were heads, of their people. Their brethren were at their commandment. Their understanding actually gave them an advantage over others. May the Lord grant you understanding and insight that will give you an advantage, over situations, and even give you an advantage over others. Let me wrap this up by saying that, I chose to address this particular topic this way rather than focus on the negative. When we're dealing on fear and anxiety and all these other things and pride and so forth, we focused a lot on the negative. But here I chose to focus on the positive, positive. You see how inspiration and the strategy from the Lord can actually help you overcome, this thing. So I didn't dwell too much on the negative. I heard a comment yesterday that said, well, it's a sobering message, this and that, and we're chewing on it. I said, oh, wow. Okay, so even though I could have brought this a different way, today I said, okay, well, I'll bring it a different, another way. I will just focus on the positive that you can get from the strategy and the inspiration that leads to understanding, rather than dwell too much on the negative. Hopefully, people respond better to that. That is where we are with today's lesson. I have personal testimonies. Some of you have heard my testimonies. Some of you have shared similar testimonies as well. But I have personal testimonies on inspiration of the Almighty. And, and it became a thing, that I've shared with many. I've shared it on this platform. I've shared it at the church. And people began to latch onto it and say, yeah, by the inspiration of the Almighty, you can overcome difficult situations in life, and so forth. Even in on your job, I work in technology and God has helped me. Sometimes when, there's just no solution in sight. I mean, can you imagine that God even understands computers? Oh, absolutely. God can give you inspiration. And you just, all of a sudden, you just understand something. Bring the solution. I've used it when I had to take exams and stuff like that. I had to do projects. Those people just bring understanding, illumination. I've used it when I had to interview for a higher position when I didn't even have a clue. And I'm seeking the Lord. All of a sudden, this light bulb just goes on and you have incredible understanding. You just know things. And David said, yeah, that has made me wiser than my teachers. You just know. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just brings you this knowledge. It's incredible. And, once you have that knowledge, you have an advantage. You have an advantage. Now you can go in with confidence. Raise the Lord because you have an advantage through God's inspiration. Well, I'm going to pray for everyone in this room today that we would look for inspiration from the Lord. Look for strategy. Remember, I started the story with David's lesson. I chose to do it that way on purpose today, you know, focusing on the positive. David's lesson of looking to the Lord, and rather than, you know, letting his situation confuse him, you know, and sometimes you can be confused. You know, you have, you know, you may have, you know, many, many situations. And Jehoshaphat, he had three times the armies that came up against him, his own army, Mount Seir, General of Ammon, and Moab, and all of those people came up against him. They were outnumbered completely, you know, but he looked to the Lord and he listened to the Lord, and the Lord gave him strategy of what to do. Tomorrow, the Lord said, do this and do that. And that's strategy. And every time we look to him, he will instruct us. But when he does instruct you, don't be like the mule. You know, listen and follow that instruction. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you that the inspiration of the Almighty will be with us to give us understanding. Hallelujah. Understanding for the scriptures, understanding the will of God, understanding the mind of Christ, understanding what we need to do in situations. You promise that we'll hear a word behind our ears telling us which way to go when we are faced with decisions or we're at a crossroads. You promise, Lord, to guide us with your eye, to instruct us the way we should go. You promise, O Lord, to give us wisdom. You said it is the Lord thy God that will teach you how to profit. Those of us who are in business and stuff like that, the Lord will teach you how to do it. Teach you how to make profit. You may be struggling with turning a profit. The Lord will teach you how to do it. But you must lean on him. You must look to him. Praise the Lord. Remember, God is the one that gives you the power to get this word by understanding, by inspiration, by things. You begin to know secrets. The Lord will bring it to you. Praise the Lord. Father, we pray that in every day of our lives as we go through, that we will not walk in darkness. Jesus said you will have the light of life. Everyone that's in this room, you will not walk in darkness. You will not be confounded. You will not be ashamed. In the name of Jesus, the Lord will be your glory and the lifter up of your head. And by inspiration from the Lord, he will show you things to come and help you to escape many a pitfall. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.